He is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This is Ministry of the Badge.
I think the dissidence is that, you know, certainly over the last 10 days, the energy level has gone up. The amount of conflicting points of view have increased greatly. And this has created an environment that's equally, if not more, challenging for us because of the dynamics in the crowd, not just intent against, you know, what was originally the conversation of protest, which was immigration. We did mention briefly the importance of our words and our conversations and our statements. And, you know, we're all adults. We all are responsible for what we say and how we say it. It was not good use of our time to determine whether or not the perceptions are accurate. I didn't want to spend a lot of time trying to dive into those kind of specifics. We did speak holistically about the need for a change in the environment and a change in behavior down there, and I'm in agreement with that. And so, you know, I would appreciate the fact that over the last couple of days, I've been speaking regularly with Casey Cotting from the state police, Superintendent Cotting, and other law enforcement leaders trying to think about what that might look like. What could that mean in terms of not only a law enforcement role, but really a community role, as well as a political role, what that could be. Yeah, I can't comment on, you know, what that may have gone on, and, you know, perception-wise, this was really a operational focus and operational conversation about the safety for her employees and then also for the role of the police bureau and the state and the region in this area. So I can't really speak to that.
So you mentioned that, you know, you have conversations about what things might look like and how change might be sparked to maybe bring people together, especially down at the South Waterfront where things have been contentious over the last few days at least, and over the summer. What does that look like? What are some things that you guys are looking into to really help maybe calm people down and get things back on track?
Yeah, I mean, it really varies. There's my hope would be that we could have a community-led conversation about how we want to continue to express our First Amendment rights. And we have a model in that. We have a model in that for the last several months where we have seen demonstrations numbering in the tens of thousands, and we have not had nearly the police presence that we've had down there. So I would really love to see a community-led conversation around safety and public order. This will also require a renewed commitment by our electeds to set a tone and an expectation around that. And then I would anticipate us to continue to focus on ways to limit the violence and vandalism. And the degree of violence that we've seen just in the last, you know, few days, as I said, once again, it within the crowd, I think that we have to be looking carefully about, you know, how can we create space in that very confined area so that we aren't seeing those responses. All of that's on the table.
Can you say it's spelled first and last in title?
Sure. Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, Schmautz, S-C-H-M-A-U-T-Z, and the president of the Portland Police Association. Their free speech events are completely within our rights, and what kind of, you know, violence or vandalism or other things will we together say, that's not us, that's too much. And again, there are individuals within this entire conversation who wish to engage in violence. There are individuals, we've seen it over and over and over again. There are specific individuals who show up to these events intent on engaging in violence, and they have to be held accountable.
Do you think that's true for some of what you've seen from the federal agents that are protecting the building?
Do I think that federal agents show up with the intent to engage in violence?
That's not the question. Do you think that there have been acts of violence that could have been prevented that they didn't?
I have absolutely no idea what intelligence federal officers have. But the reality is they are sworn police officers. I'm sure they have an accountability system. Again, I've never worked for them. But you also have to remember that the Portland Police Bureau has a consent decree that is placed upon them by the very organization that dictates the work that is being done by the federal protective agencies. Those police officers have been, they're understaffed, They're in unbelievably difficult political situations. And again, this conversation is political and it shouldn't be personal. And the violence that we've seen directed towards federal agents is unacceptable. All violence is unacceptable. And they're having to, again, go into an area with very hyperbolic political conversations, and they're told you need to be able to open this door and go out. And if people come out and confront them, they're going to use force. And again, I operate in a world where police accountability matters. We want to make sure that the force that is used is constitutional. If there's concerns about that, there needs to be a robust a way to navigate those things. And again, I am very confident that the federal government has an accountability system. I do not know what it is because I don't and never have worked for them. But again, I think, you know, they're being placed in a very untenable situation. They're being given orders. It's important to remember that the federal officers who are federal officers today were federal officers a year ago, many of them 10 years ago, and they've been through many different presidents, many different administrations, and the individual human beings who are doing the work are doing the best they can. I truly believe that. And also castigating an entire swath of a profession as a result of a moment in time where we're having this very complicated political conversation is really dangerous.
So just to recap a little bit, you said that what we need from leaders is more clarity. Are you talking about city council giving you clear guidance on when to engage and when not to engage?
Honestly, I think the community needs to lead that conversation and council needs to be responsive. And it's just, I mean, I just feel like the fabric of our society is being stretched to the absolute max, which is causing, you know, fraying all over the place.
Anything else you would add that we didn't cover?
Tale one. You just heard Portland. Let's take a listen to Tale 2, City, Chicago.
HSI are officers. They are agents of law enforcement. If you box them in with vehicles, it is reasonable for them to believe that they are being ambushed and that this could end in a deadly situation. And it's reasonable for them to use force based on those conditions. Do not box in any law enforcement officer.
Sarah Schulte with ABC 7. Good afternoon, Superintendent. At any time, maybe you can clear this up too, at any time on Saturday, were CPD officers told by dispatchers to stand down?
Well, I don't know about them being told by dispatchers. There was some communication between boots on the ground, a supervisor, and the chief of patrol. So there was some communication by phone. There was something that was put out there that there was an internal message that came from the chief of patrol. That is absolutely not true. There is no internal message. There was a phone conversation. I'm not sure until we get to our after action, all of the exact language that was there, but I have had a conversation with the chief of patrol who was concerned about officers showing up on a scene. The chief of patrol at that time had no information that anyone was in danger. And let me just be clear about one other thing when it comes to these federal agents. These federal agents can handle themselves, all right? We've been out there and we've seen it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to leave them because we know that they can handle themselves. We need to make sure that we have our officers and enough of them to respond to a scene if something, if they are being surrounded. So were they told to stand down? Our officers were not told to stand down. Our officers were out there throughout the entire event.
13 seconds of that dispatch audio, John.
And again, per the chief of patrol, we have all the units that per 999. Chief of Patrol said all units clear out from there. We're not sending anybody over to that location.
All right, so Jonathan Fahey, former acting ICE director, is still with us, and we're also joined by Chicago Fraternal Order of Police President John Catanzaro. John, thanks very much for being with us. I wanted to bring this to your attention, John, because there seems to be a discrepancy here, a 41-minute hole between the time that the call went out from CPD for assistance, from CBP to assistance from the Chicago Police Department to when, quote, additional units were rolled out there. We also have, and let's put this up, this is call for number five here. This is the computer-aided dispatch system. At the bottom of the screen, because the timeline increases as you go further up, a caller is one of approximately 30 armed Border Patrol agents who are being surrounded by a large crowd of people requesting CPD. A number of minutes later, at 12:34, Chief of Patrol, no units will respond to this. And then, as we just heard from the superintendent, John, at 1:09, units were rolled. So could it be that units were told not to respond and then later were dispatched to respond?
Could it be? That's factually what happened. And the reality is somebody's lying here, whether it's the Chief of Patrol or Unit 999. And I can tell you, I personally know that lieutenant, and he has an impeccable record. On the other hand, the Chief of Patrol, not so much. He's been notorious for lying and stomping on anybody to get to where he's gotten to this point. Do I think he gave that order? Absolutely. And I think the lieutenant was just relaying what that phone call reiterated to him to not send anybody over there, because sadly, this department is in literally a shell of itself and so fearful of what politicians and this mayor are going to do to them if they respond. Every single citizen, the sanctity of life is what this city supposedly cares about. That doesn't discriminate between civil enforcement. If someone's calling for help, we are obligated to go. And this person should be taken out of his basically assignment right now, stripped of his police powers and removed from command. He has no business wearing a badge.
John, can I just follow up real quickly there? Just what was your response to how you just heard this all characterized directly from the Chicago PD there with the lieutenant speaking?
Damage control. I mean, you look at, he just said we will have more clarity on that conversation between the Chief of Patrol and the lieutenant tomorrow. 72 hours later, it's not that complicated. The Chief of Patrol could have already answered, and you certainly could have got the lieutenant's version of the story and made a statement. But it is all about damage control at this point, because they know they wet the bed, and this guy has been a cancer to this department, and the superintendent is doing whatever he can to protect him, and shame on him for that. But this needs to stop. John Hine needs to be removed. He is an embarrassment to this department and this profession.
A tale of two cities, right? I'm resisting being critical because I'm not there. And we know as cops that the news doesn't always tell the story that we know because we're there. But when you see the different forms of leadership, like we just heard or you watched, depending on how you get this, interesting, isn't it? As cops, a couple of them alluded to it, we're stuck in no-win situations. And people's perceptions of us are what they are, as the one supervisor said. But when you're stuck in a position where it's quite obvious somebody is covering up what happened on the streets, it makes it very hard on you. And you heard from both presidents of their associations. I found it to be interesting that this Chicago guy, I know none of these folks, and I'm not trying to be critical of anyone. But the Chicago guy definitely has a much different flavor for what he believes and his perception was that day, because he heard the radio traffic. And I'm sure, being that he's the president of the FOP down there, he probably heard from these street guys the mess that it was that day. And he knows. He said that, and it was his opinion that somebody should lose their stripes or lose their badge over that. And that's usually on supervision, Because the coppers, they're going to do what they're told. And the question comes down to, would you have done that? Would you have not gone? And I can't answer the question. We talk about this all the time on Ministry of the Badge. I say, you're under the rule of your bosses. That's where you've been put. But is not enforcing state law an option? I'm just asking questions. Again, I don't want to be critical because there could have very well been cops that weren't there anyway. Don't know. Haven't talked to anybody. I'm just up the road from there. But I haven't talked to anybody on the ground. And I know I have some listeners from the Chicago area. So I'm going to tell you boys and girls right now, guys and gals, I'm not being critical. I'm just asking questions according to what we know and what I believe on Ministry of the Badge. And these are not easy situations to be in. But fellow officers are crying out for help. I've seen officers get called off chases. That's one thing. But I don't know if I've ever heard of a time where we were told not to go back up other officers. I don't care where that order was from. I've never heard of such a thing. Has it happened other places? Yeah, I do not remember that in my career. When a cop is going through struggles, and you ask any cop who has been through a struggle, when you hear and you're screaming on the radio for help, I responded to one of those screams for help. And when you're that guy struggling on the ground, I remember going to a scene where a guy is screaming on the radio again, and I happened to be one of the first officers there, and he said when he heard my siren, he knew he was relieved that someone was coming. Because it's the Calvary charge, right? And 30 ICE agents are on the phone screaming for help. That was the estimate. That's what they gave. Again, you got to ask yourself the question, what is politics really something that you're going to put officers' lives on the line for? It's not about you agreeing or disagreeing. It's about there's officers whose lives are being, you know, threatened. And you heard the dispatch call. And that was what that woman said, 13 seconds of that. Portland, so far to this date that I've been working on this, and God forbid anything happens after that, hasn't had that kind of response. I know I had talked to federal officers back when we had our own riots in 2020, what they told me Portland did to them back then. How they were given no backup at all by Portland PD. I'm not sure, and I didn't look into, and I'm not getting into the politics of it. If this guy was the chief at the time of that, I don't know. I know listening to his response, listening to his take on things, how much violence should be allowed. That makes no sense. Reward good. Punish evil. Is there a line I'm missing somewhere in there? I'm just asking the question. I want to see community-led solutions to the problems where we can lessen some of this. And it was said, you know what was interesting? It was said both by the chief of the Portland Police Department as well as their union president. And again, I'm not trying to disparage the guy. I'm not. I don't know him. And far be it from me to play armchair quarterback. I'm letting you listen as I'm listening to what I heard. Why did I make this episode? Because I'm just asking the question. And this is what I talk about on this podcast. What do you do? What should be your response to this? If you're a Christian officer working on either one of these departments, does it matter? Of course it matters because you're Christian. But the chief in Chicago, he does make it clear in another section that, and we heard it, these are federal officers. If you do something, these guys can do what they need to do to make that not happen. And that's including deadly force. So don't ram police cars. Don't follow their cars. So he did make clear that, yeah, look, it's not tolerable. The other gentleman seemed to say, well, you know, there's some violence. And the president did say, you know, no violence is, but sometimes when that term is used, you know, no violence at all, you know, and then there's, you're not going to do that. See the difference? That's the way I heard it. Everybody's cut from a different cloth, but we're all wearing that same badge of authority. And look at how things are handled. And let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why it's handled the way it is, it's because it's flawed, because mankind is that way. Man's heart is wicked. The Bible says. So wicked, the Bible says, who can know it? It's rhetorical. Of course, God knows it. But the question stands. Your job is to enforce the law, not lessen crime, right? Not tolerating some and then letting others, because I think he said it at one point. I mean, where is the line crossed between, quote, free speech? Free speech is holding up a sign, parading around. Once you start blocking traffic, once you start doing all that, now you're breaking barriers, right? And I've seen this. I've seen this for myself. I remember being at protests. You know, we had our own protests before our own officer-involved shooting that started our it was a clash of things that started our city on fire. But I remember, you know, letting the protesters run up and down the street, yelling and screaming out of their mommy and daddy's vans, effing me off and effing this and effing that, and we're all like, oh, whatever. Sticks and stones, right? And we had to block off, we were told, block off roads so they can march up and down the street. Okay, fine. Obstructing traffic, it's a traffic violation, whatever. They weren't getting disorderly, so we were told. So we blocked, we literally walked along with them, right? Blocked the roads off. That's one thing. Yelling F you at the cops. Yeah, we're cops, right? We should be able to take that. Some cops can't. If you can't, you shouldn't really do it anyway. But at no time, if there would have been a bottle thrown at us, if they would have started off with physical violence towards us, that would have been it. That parade would have been over. Guaranteed. Me and another veteran officer basically handled the whole scene. Captain was monitoring and supervisors were on the road, but it wouldn't have been tolerated. It shouldn't have been tolerated, in my opinion, to let them walk down the street, neither here nor there. So when you're listening to something like it's going on in Portland, and you kind of heard them allude to, well, you know, some people are saying this, and it's not as bad as what we've seen, and blah, 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 and it's always like that, right? But being a minister of the badge, is that really what you want? Is that really what you should be doing? You say you don't want to play politics, but yet that's exactly what's controlling your actions, is politics. Enforcing the law is pretty straightforward. Unless every one of those cops are running for mayor, running for alderman or something, then I can understand. But then choose. You want to be an alderman? You want to be a cop? And I'm just using that as an example because I'm listening to different words that are being used. Community-led. One of the officers alluded to, you know, our power is given to us by the community. If the community doesn't believe in us, then, you know, now we have a problem. I don't see anything about community having to believe in you because the community, if it had its way, would just run rampant without any kind of oversight. If you left it to, quote, community, the community, man's heart, what would prevail is just anarchy, if you want it to be the truth. So I don't agree with that sentiment. If he's saying something different, then say it that way, but that's not what I heard. And again, we talk about this stuff on Ministry of the Badge, and now we're seeing it live out. And I don't know what the future brings. I know biblically what I believe I see. And for those of us who are Christians and believe in the rapture, oof, we'll be thankful that we're not anywhere to see what could very well come about. And you can say, well, Chaplain Gonzo was really that bad. Well, I don't know if it's that bad, but man, I'm going to tell you, for the last 5 to 10 years, probably for sure the last 4 or 5 years, and probably a little bit more than that, 10 years at least, we've lost a lot of numbers of cops. Under the last administration, I think the number dropped in half. I mean, I'm gone, right? And a lot of guys like me are gone. And there doesn't seem to be many people replacing us. And it's not because we're not replaceable. It's because they're being driven away by this type of thing. And I would argue it's being done on purpose by leaders who have no idea their role in life and in government. And I don't think have any kind of biblical basis for the things that they do. Paul made it a point back in the day when he was in prison, the Apostle Paul, to say, I believe it was in Philippians, that the whole Praetorian Guard knew why he was in jail. They say he was on house arrest. They say he was actually chained to a cop or a jailer. I've read different accounts of that. And those men heard of the Apostle Paul and heard his message being told to them, and they told somebody, and they told somebody, and they told somebody. I mean, it is feasible that those cops went and changed, and I believe it to be true, changed the trajectory of Rome by spreading the gospel that Paul had given them. People will say, well, what do you think? You know, I had just done a podcast before this episode called The Cop's Life, and I told the story of my officer-involved shooting and, you know, a little bit of my career, and I had to give credit to the Lord, especially for things that I've seen, because it's only because of him and because of my wife that I was able to make it through. What about you? What's getting you through these times? Some of my brothers and sisters in Chicago that are listening to this. Gosh. I can't imagine the pressure you guys are under. I can relieve your fears in this way. I can relieve some of your stress in this way. The best way I know how. And I would tell you, bring it to the Lord. Trust that he called you to the position that you're in right now. And he wants to hear from you. And he wants you to know that he will relieve that pressure from you. The Bible says, come to me. My burden is light. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. God so loved the world, because he's an immutable, a most holy God, that he gave his begotten Son, who was blameless, who was without sin, to receive in himself the punishment that's due all of us, because you are sinners. Your natural bend is to do that against God. So Christ came. The wages of sin are death, and he took that upon himself for you. And he rose again so you could live forever. And he wants nothing more than for you to accept that gift, and then you become a child of the living God. And he will give you rest. So brothers and sisters who are in these predicaments, and those of you in the future who may get into those, and it's coming, this is not happening in a vacuum. It's coming. We could see 2020 all over again. God forbid, maybe worse. Don't let them fool you under the premise that's being disguised. This isn't about some immigration thing. This is because these people hate order. The wicked hearts of these men hate order. But if you accept the free gift of Christ, you won't be immune from it. It won't just go away for you. But just like that strength you have as an officer to place and compartmentalize the things that you see, you'll get that plus. Imagine the ice guys. Assaults on them are up 1,000%, they say. Some of those guys probably have never experienced this kind of thing ever. May drive them right out. To you men and women, I say, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I know it sucks. I know it feels like the whole world is against you. You have a leader who is standing by you. You have a leader in the president that you may blame for putting you in that situation, but he's standing by you. And you got most of America who agree with what it is you're doing, because you're not doing anything wrong. This is not your fault. I know you didn't ask for this. Some of you may disagree. I get that too. I can't just say, well, just do your job. It's not that easy, is it? But I can tell you, if your heart is right and you're doing the job to the best of your ability, knowing that this power has been given to you, not just by the people, but by God, as long as you do it with that in mind. And you don't travel outside of your duties. You're doing the right thing. So hang in there. A Tale of Two Cities. A Tale of Two Cities. May God give officers and leaders of those two cities the strength and the wisdom to do what he needs you to do. Reward the good and punish the evil. And in ordinary, to best do that is by becoming a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Christ Jesus.
For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. You've been listening to Ministry of the Badge.